In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents...
Chrissy Teigen referred to Donald Trump as a pussy-ass bitch.
Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
I'm going to punch him out and I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
The Betches Sub-Podcast.
A speaker has not been elected.
Hello, this is the Betches Up Podcast for C-SPAN. Use the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. I'm Amanda Duberman, the news director at Betches.
I'm Elise Morales, a comedian and... and ultimately, the writer of the Betches Up newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Millie Tamaris, comedian, and hopefully still some video contributor.
Girl, you know, any video idea you got,
yes.
Bring it to us. We're back on Tuesdays, our old stomping ground. We were off yesterday, but didn't want to, because we have so few reactive episodes left, didn't want to do a pre-record for today, wanted to react to the news. And boy, is there news. But if you have not been listening to this podcast, why don't you think about that? But if you have not been listening to this podcast, you might have missed that. This is Millie and Elise's last week with us on the podcast, and we will be going on a hiatus for the rest of the year at the end of this week. As we announced in our announcement and podcast, we will still sneak back in with some emergency episodes if some crazy stuff happens, but just notifying people at the top of every episode so you're not like, what the hell happened to that podcast? Are they okay? Did they drop off? Did they get into a huge fight? No. Yeah. No. We're good.
Have they been taken?
There was a moment right before we started this podcast where Elise did not realize she was in the room, and Sean and I were shouting at her, like, are you okay?
Literally, because my headphones were not connected. So I didn't realize that, like, I had been removed from the waiting room. And I'm just like literally typing away, sending my little emails.
You were being perceived unknown for like 5 minutes.
I know, which is terrifying. It's genuinely so scary.
Well, I like to think that my CIA agents that watch me through the little camera on my computer know that I'm always being perceived and enjoy watching me
absolutely
work. Sometimes we'll say,
the ASMR of your nails, I'm sure, is lovely. Yeah. All right. Well, the biggest story in the nation over the weekend was not the imminent shutdown of our federal government. No, it was the fact that Taylor Swift had a date. Mm-hmm. For a second, I was like, oh, I think something, Millie might be held up. Elise and I are the only ones that care about Taylor Swift. Should we just start?
Well, you know, there is a lot of discourse on Black Twitter over Travis.
Oh, tell us.
Because all of Travis's exes are beautiful, voluptuous Black women. And now he's dating Taylor Swift, and there's been a lot of discourse about that. That, you know, doesn't mean anything, but like, you know, whatever.
Could mean something. I mean, I am sort of in the camp that everything she does is calculating, and this is an elaborate performance that is leading somewhere. I would like to believe she just like likes the dude. I love this for her. Just kind of like a basic, uncomplicated man. Please, girl. Come our way. But no, I don't know. I think she's doing this has ulterior motives, whether it's like to take attention away from Sophie, which would, you know, that would track if Travis's type is not normally like a 5'9" pencil stick.
But apparently, like in Who Weekly's episode today, they shared a clip of Travis's podcast that he has with his brother, where he talks about the friendship bracelet at the Eras tour. And he's like, I want to put my number on the bracelet. And his brother is like, oh, you mean your jersey number? And he's like, you know what number I'm talking about. So I feel like he's been interested. We'll see.
And he's a very beautiful man. Yeah.
He's a very beautiful man. Somebody said it's giving the couple from the other two, Brooke and Lance. I would say, you know what? I had a certain type that I used to date for a long time. And then, you know, somewhere it switched. You know, I used to only exclusively date Asian men for the longest time. And then I opened up and allowed myself to get disappointed by men from all races. And so can you. Travis, this is America.
What a diplomat she is.
I will say, because my husband would be very upset if I did not put this out there, that he came to me with a prediction months ago. He said she will date a football player next.
Ooh.
Danny.
And here she is. Now, he was actually thinking, because Aaron Rodgers was spotted at the Eras Tour, that perhaps she would end up with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers with A-Rod.
But he did say.
White A-Rod.
I feel like she got her, like, scummy, skeezy guy situation out with the Matty Healy of it all. I don't think that she needs necessarily Aaron Rodgers.
I also don't think she wants a super injured man right now. She's out and about.
You know, whatever. But also, that's a good prediction, because Aaron Rodgers was at the Tonys this year. So, like, musical, I don't know if Taylor's a musical theater girly. But you know what? I'm going to say this. Aaron Rodgers and Ariana could be something. Just saying.
I will say, I think what's going to be a problem is that I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers remains unvaccinated. So I don't know if he's, like, allowed on tour with anybody. Like, I think that that might stand in the way. He said that I feel like we still are in the phase where he said he was immunized. And then it came out that, like, that didn't, like, that meant that he had, like, sat in the sun or whatever. I mean, he actually famously sits in the dark. But
right. There was the meme when he hurt himself that it was like that conservatives were tweeting like, it's the vaccine. The vaccine tore his Achilles.
Well, they say that every time there's like a car accident or like a building, like it was a vaccine. The vaccine kills.
I saw some very funny ones that were like, oh no, Aaron Rodgers tore his ACL. We have to consult Joe Rogan. Like, we have to figure out how to heal this. But anyway, I'm happy that it's Travis Kelce and not Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I'm curious to see where this goes. I will continue with my theory that she was doing this to get some attention off of Sophie Turner for the weekend, because there was some like kind of
always
dirtier stuff happening.
But from Amanda.
I know. I want the best. Maybe like she probably just like had a free day and was like, this guy's so hot and probably very strong, and it's been a while. I am sure that's what it was.
Yeah, but you're like, no, she's really
I know
taking,
Sean's laughing.
She's taking the heat off her friend who's going through a tough divorce because she is the social job. And afterwards, her and Travis went to a homeless shelter and gave up. Like,
who am I going to talk about this to for the next 2 months? Me and Sammy slack about this most of the time. So I guess I don't need a microphone. But
I love that you answered your question immediately.
If you want me to start just a solo Taylor Swift podcast, I'm sure, let me know. I'll read those three DMs later.
Probably going to be way more popular and have more fans than Sub ever.
Girl, 35,000 people registered to vote in a day. Tell me about it. Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes. All right, I guess we'll now get to news of national significance that doesn't involve Taylor Swift. So today's number is 147, because that's how many days ago the writer's strike began after the studios initially refused to even seriously negotiate the idea that writers for TV and movies should make a living for their talents. The union members' resolve and 5 months' sacrifice has paid off. The Writers Guild of America says it's reached a tentative deal with studios that secured most of their initial demands, which is amazing. These include increases in compensation for streaming content, concessions from studios on minimum staffing for television shows. Is that mini rooms? Like, yeah. No more mini rooms? Thank you.
No more mini rooms. And guarantees,
awesome, that AI technology will not negatively impact writers' compensation. So apparently AI was kind of one of the final and most difficult sticking points to smooth out, which, as we've discussed, makes sense. I mean, these studios love the idea of just not having to pay actors anymore. This deal finally emerged after the really big head honchos at the studios came to the table themselves. That included Bob Iger of Netflix, Ted Sarandos of Netflix, and David Zaslav of Disney.
I think David Zaslav is Max.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Bob Iger is Disney.
Oh, you're right. Oh my God, I got them. Did I get them all wrong?
No.
Put the Mad Libs. No, you only got, you know, switched.
Bob Iger of Disney, Ted Sarandos of Netflix, and David Zaslav of
Discovery.
Warner Discovery.
You guys, I'm in the background working on a massive secret project for SUP that is gonna murder me. I'm going to die. It's very exciting, and it will probably be out in the world next week. I am grateful that it is keeping me from mourning and crying all the time that I'm losing you two, but that is why I am a little unhinged today and got literally all those facts wrong.
Of all the things, not knowing that David Zaslav is the CEO of Discovery, it's okay.
I'm just negging. Yeah. I actually intended to neg David Zaslav.
Yeah.
So it's totally guild fine. Members are now going to vote on whether to accept the deal. And it's interesting because everyone on the WGA side has been, it seems to me, super effusive, emotional in a good way over the victory. The studios are so butthurt. Like, the WGA released a long statement saying like how this was such a hard won victory. And the studio simply stated the WGA and the AMPTP have reached a tentative agreement. That was it. That was the extent of their enthusiasm. So two questions for y'all in the biz. What does this mean in the immediate term? What types of programming might we see resume? And I'm sure you guys are talking to, your colleagues and peers in the industry. How are people feeling about the ultimate kind of deal?
I think that because of the projections that I've heard, is that because everyone has to vote and it has to get ratified and everything. So the earliest projections are saying like by Thanksgiving, because they still need to negotiate the SAG strike. The Drew Barrymore show, honestly, like talk shows where it's like not actors, like non-scripted, like Dancing with the Stars and all of that can probably resume production quicker as soon as the WGA, but it's still going to take a while. But like things like that can, where it's just about like, even though it's right, technically unscripted, quote unquote, right? Like Drew Barrymore, Dancing with the Stars, they all have scripts. It's all WGA work, but those don't have SAG work. So non-SAG productions can start earlier. And the prediction for SAG is Thanksgiving, which I said already. And in terms of like feelings, like everyone's feeling pretty victorious. The reality is like in a negotiation, no one's going to leave 100% happy. But the fact that they've gotten concessions from studios that initially were a non-starter, like staffing minimums and stuff, which again, we've talked about a lot about, they're asking, streaming is asking for two people to write 10 episodes and all that. So it's a tremendous victory.
Yeah, it's a very like David and Goliath story that's really, really, really cool because these companies had a really, really hard stance for a long time. They were basically, there are those leaks where they were like, we're going to starve you out. We're going to make you lose your homes, et cetera, et cetera. And they did have to come to the table. I don't think that they would have come to the table with the WGA if they were not prepared to make an equal number of concessions to SAG. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what the SAG deal looks like, but I imagine we're going to see some similar things. Like, I don't see why they would concede residuals to the WGA and then hold them for SAG, because the whole point is to end this strike and get back into production. And they can't do that if SAG isn't there as well. So my guess is we're going to see a similar type of deal for SAG, some protections on the AI front, some changes to how residuals are done. One interesting thing that I heard that we might see just as a change in television generally as a result of this is because they have gotten rid of these mini rooms, we might see a lot of shows returning more to like the 22 episode format, like shorter shows, longer seasons, because they have to have larger rooms in general. So that's just one thing that I heard that is interesting. I'm not sure how that will shake out, but we might actually see some changes to the structure of TV shows and how seasons work as a result of some of the stuff that the WGA has won.
And just one more huge victory is the bonus structure or the residual process for really successful shows. So example, like basically what would happen is if you wrote on a show like Wednesday, what you got paid was what you got paid. And then it's like an international sensation. You wouldn't get paid a cent more, but now they have what they were able to negotiate is like a structure. Still shady because, you know, famously streaming doesn't share like how many people watch anything or this and that. But if it's incredibly successful, like House of Dragon or Game of Thrones or Succession, those writers will get a bonus or like some kind of residual for, you know, successful streaming shows.
So it sounds like, I mean, at the outset of this strike, it was like really a fundamental question over if people that had the talent to dedicate their lives to writing for TV and movies, that should be something that you can make a living out of. And it seems like that is now, like, it seems like it's a totally different future for some people in the industry.
Let's hope so, Amanda. Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah, you both are like, that's what it would seem like. But the trepidation. Yeah.
I know. It's interesting because I'm like, no one gets everything that they want, right?
Yeah.
So like the WGA did have to concede certain things. And like, I'm not exactly sure like how everything stacks up to like concessions versus what was asked for and this and that. But I do think that the big overall things were gotten, which was, a change in the pay to compensate people for a super successful streaming show. Like if you write for Bridgerton, you should get Bridgerton money for that. Mm-hmm. Like protections for AI. So basically, like, you can't outsource scripts to AI. You can't replace writers with AI, that kind of a thing. And then the changes to the number of like writers that you can have in a room was also a big one, because when that contracted, that meant that there were just way less writers on staff. There was way less room to like move up within a writer's room too, mm-hmm. to like start as just a staff writer and then move up along the chain and become a showrunner and all that stuff. Like a lot of the like pipelines to creating your own show had been going away because of those mini rooms and just the fact that like they were having just two people write an entire show. So hopefully with the return of all that, we're going to see a lot more stability in the career. And hopefully that's what actors are able to win for themselves too.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the idea that shows might get shorter, because I think we know from the last season of Ted Lasso and pivoting Sex and the City to And Just Like That, longer is not better.
I don't know. Some things I'm like, this is too much in a season. I don't know.
Well, that's exciting. And like you guys said, the SAG strike is ongoing. So that kind of, you know, elongates the timeline on the resumption of a lot of shows. And I was just thinking, reading this, it's like, oh, Drua just waited like two more weeks.
Oh, yeah. Unforced error from Drew. Exactly. She really should have just. And what's interesting is like, I know people in the industry or whatever, and I had heard like, I'm not as well connected as Drew Barrymore, if you can believe it. And I had heard rumblings like that we were in the final stretch for like at least 2 weeks now. So I'm like, why didn't Drew have access to this information and know to just chill for a second? Like, I've heard of people who have worked on shows and stuff, especially in like the production side, who started hearing about a week ago from their higher ups, like, we think this is going to come to a close soon. If you're traveling, if you're not in the area, maybe start thinking about coming back, like, et cetera. Oh, wow. So there have been rumblings that this was going to end fairly soon, like for a while. So it's just interesting to me. I don't know who is on Drew Barrymore's team and is giving her information, but they did not have her back in this situation at all. They did not have her back.
It was the Kelly Clarkson show. Somebody was planted there.
Yeah, literally.
Meanwhile, Kelly's busking in Vegas.
Oh my God. Yeah. Drew, she will be okay. This will be a negative blight.
Are men okay? Yeah, we don't know, but Drew, no.
Drew's been better. Drew has been tremendously better.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, next up, we will go to our main news. Government shutdown. We will go through this briefly because I just think that when we start talking about the shutdown, I know when I start hearing about the shutdown, it just sort of all becomes, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. It all sounds the same. But as we said last week, this is coming up very quickly. No huge changes. The shutdown is a mere 5 days away. And I know I'm being like casual about this. And if you work for the government and rely on government services, like so many people in this country, it's bad. It's a bad situation. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It's become increasingly clear that Kevin McCarthy can't get any sort of spending proposal out of the House of Representatives without a few Democratic votes.
God forbid.
God forbid.
God like, forbid he work with the Democrats a little bit on what on a small number of votes.
Grab what we don't like. There's some in there we don't like. Well, isn't the anti-abortion guy still in there? Surely you can get him.
Henry Cuellar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's Nancy's bestie still in there.
And probably pro-gun, too.
Yeah, you can find somebody. Like, surely there are something that 218 members can agree on. There's, like, a problem solvers caucus made up of a bipartisan group that I think is, you know, making some suggestions along those lines. But as we've discussed, if Kevin McCarthy settles for any type of legislation that would invite Democratic votes, he could likely get voted out of his job. And that's because in order to get elected Speaker, Kevin McCarthy agreed to restore the ability of any one member of the House to offer what's known as a motion to vacate the Speaker's chair. That would trigger a House floor vote to oust the Speaker. And Matt Gaetz has been pretty vocal about his willingness to offer this motion should McCarthy allow a bill out of the House that the far right faction objects to. And the far right faction is like all is most of them at this point. Yeah. So Kevin McCarthy is kind of in this interesting position right now where he's weighing whether he'd rather keep the government functioning or keep his job, which is a bad position for all of us to be in.
I have a question. Okay. So yes, they would be able to, and maybe none of us know the answer to this question. I think maybe Kevin McCarthy isn't sure of the answer to this question, and that's how we ended up here. But yeah, okay. So they can have this motion to vacate, but it's not like there's anyone. I feel like then it just goes back to the same weird situation where we get put in this voting loop and no one else could be the speaker who has the vote. So I'm kind of like, maybe if Kevin McCarthy is like, I'll work with Democrats on a bill, couldn't he be like, but you have to vote for me in this speaker's thing? Like, yeah, it'll be embarrassing if they hold this vote to oust him. But what is the, does he actually lose his job from that? Because who then gets, who gets put in?
Well, exactly. Good question. A speaker has never been ousted as a result of a vacate to motion the chair. It would take a lot for that vote to actually succeed. Like there's been like attempts and it's not just that vote. There's been a bunch of votes after like, do we actually move forward on this or do we table it? So it can be one of those things like, I think what we might see is Matt Gaetz sort of bring up this motion, them decide to table it. And then it's just this looming thing over Kevin McCarthy's head. Because they did try. It already is. They did try to do this. They did try to do this to John Boehner. The motion was tabled or it just like never actualized into removing him. But it was more to apply pressure. And it was a huge embarrassment. And we know that John Boehner's political career did kind of cease after that. But it was almost a different time in politics. The type of things that were really embarrassing on the, in the Republican Party now are kind of rewarded. So
well, they're getting fingered at Beetlejuice now. So
yeah.
Shit's changed.
But so who becomes the speaker right away is that if McCarthy, if somebody is ousted, apparently when somebody becomes speaker, they give a shortlist to some special Congress document holder of potential successors. And if he's ousted, the top person on that list will take over and then they will preside over the vote to replace the speaker. So we have a step between like Kevin McCarthy, like there's already somebody sort of lined up to succeed him, but then immediately we're going to go back into that vote to find somebody else. And so it's just going to slow down. You know, we're not going to be any closer to getting the government funded.
I don't know if there is a Republican that would That could do it. Honestly, like somebody that both the far right and the moderate, which I'm like, there aren't that many moderates, but they exist and they're not going to be happy to get like a far right person either. So I'm just like, okay, call them on their bluff, Kevin. Like, peace out.
Yeah, if they had a good alternative, they would have raised that before the 15th vote. Like, that's why it had to go, because they have nobody. So they have nobody.
So then, yeah, just like call them on their bluff, Kevin, and be like, yeah, okay, right, replace me.
I think that's what he's doing this week. But what happens when the government shuts down? The federal government wouldn't be able to pay the hundreds of thousands of workers who carry out its basic functions. Other workers will be furloughed or go without pay. Like, some people are forced, like, you have to go to work. You just don't get paid until it ends. Some people are furloughed. And like, I was just thinking, like, student loan payments resume on October 1st, and that would be the same time that the government shuts down. Like, just imagine being an underpaid government worker sent home from work, no paycheck that you know of for weeks, being asked to pay your government student loans.
So ridiculous.
A lot of military personnel are going to be the ones that are sent home. How will this affect you? It depends who you are and what government services you rely on. You know, you might not clock the ways you rely on the federal government on a day-to-day basis, but we all do. You have family members that get Social Security checks. You might be waiting for your passport to be processed. Air traffic controllers are federal employees. You think TSA is grumpy now? Imagine a TSA worker at 5 a.m. who hasn't been paid. I am worried for all of us. That's going to be tough.
Well, as you may know, I am in the middle of a Madam Secretary watch, binge watch, and season 4, episode 4 is where they go into the government shutdown episode, and they just show, I mean, it was just really good in like,
ooh, I'm gonna
helping
watch that later,
me understand like everything that happened. So basically, the chief of staff of the secretary, her son is in like Burma or something, or Myanmar, and he got this girl pregnant and they want to come to the US, but they can't get their visa approved because the government work, or like because of the looming shutdown, like everyone's trying to do shit. And it's like, okay, if you're working for the government, you're not gonna have rent.
Right. The trash is overflowing in like national parks. People can't visit. There's economic fallout. I mean, it won't be too bad if it only lasts a couple weeks. Something I was reading that's kind of interesting is that this is kind of, because the fiscal year is ending, there's going to be like, there's some numbers that are due out that a lot of finance people make their projections based on. And that's where all of our money comes from and our 401ks. And if they don't have if the people whose job it is to write that report are not able to do it, things are going to be slowed down. In a protracted scenario, it would diminish GDP by about a tenth of a percentage point every week. But like Millie said, it's the people, it's just those, like we rely on the federal government in a lot of ways, some people to a greater extent than others and in a much more urgent sense than others. And it's just like so gross that like our water could be less safe because the inspections could be halted. And Kevin's
isn't
just
that
like,
so cool that like Matt Gaetz is in charge of that?
Yes,
Literally. Someone who doesn't give two shits about any. It's what's so ridiculous is that I'm like, the people who caused this, I mean, I guess probably they're like senator and congressional salaries are delayed, but like,
they're taking they're the so type, much pay
yeah,
on
the, I know, exactly.
I think Bob Menendez needs the money.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Bob Menendez has cash sewn into his coat for just this occasion, but like,
it's from his savings, guys.
Who doesn't put their savings in the lining of their coat?
We'll get there.
All right, next up in Maine news, Bob Menendez. Got to talk about Senator Bob Menendez. The 69-year-old Democratic senator from New Jersey was charged Friday with secretly aiding the authoritarian government of Egypt. He also tried to stop criminal prosecutors. This is so a Democrat. Crazy. He also, it's so, the corruption is just like textbook. He also tried to stop criminal prosecution of a friend, this businessman who he has like sacrificed his entire reputation to help protect in exchange for gold bars and cash. And he took some actions to, again, enrich local businessmen in exchange for just lots of financial favors. The wide-ranging corruption took place while Menendez was chair of the extremely powerful Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And among the many allegations, the prosecutor stated that Senator Menendez took steps to secretly aid the government of Egypt and provided non-public information to Egyptian officials. His wife was also charged and played a very prominent role in the corruption. So let's run through some of the allegations in the indictment. So in 2022, the FBI raided Menendez's home and found about $500,000 in cash. The bills were stuffed in clothing and closets, a safe, and in one picture, a jacket from the Congressional Hispanic Caucus with like little labels on the outside of how much money is in there. And as Millie alluded to, Mendez maintains that the nearly $500,000 in cash hidden throughout the home was just for emergencies. Mm. Law enforcement also found over $100,000 in gold bars. Mm-hmm. Menendez had Googled, quote, how much is a kilo of gold worth a day after making a sketchy trip to pick up something at an airport while he was in communications with these businessmen about how to help them.
This man Menendez, is a senator. He was in the hearings about Google, TikTok, all of these things.
They supposed don't get it.
And he's Googling his crimes.
Menendez is also accused of getting prosecutors to drop a case against two defendants in exchange for a $15,000 down payment on his wife's Mercedes. Not even a full Mercedes, just the down payment. And these defendants helped organize some financing.
He helped
the same defendant monopolize halal meat experts from Egypt in exchange for that specific benefit. The businessman paid $23,000 in late mortgage fees for the Menendezes. Damn. The senator also secured $300 million of military funding for Egypt in exchange for like a cushy no-show job for his wife. Finally, the way he earned that was that he completely wrote a letter on behalf of Egyptian officials to the Senate to voice support for freezing military aid, but he basically wrote it. My initial thought from reading this is so much corruption to undertake for what I think is a relatively small amount of money. If you're going to go all out with the corruption, if you're going to sell your country out, if you're going to give state secrets, if you're going to enrich another country, I need $10 million. I'm not doing it for less than $10
million. So what is this, like totaling to a $1 million?
You're gonna do that. I mean, the $15,000 down payment on the Mercedes was what kills me. Do corruption better. Have some gumption. Be like, you know what? I'll do this for you if you pay for the whole Mercedes. It's disappointing. It's embarrassing because you know a Republican would have been scoring much more for this. And look, I'm not saying I wish Menendez did it. I'm just like, really, for that amount of money? But, you know, times are tough. Times are tough. That's a lot of money to me, too. I'm just like saying to do something that crazy and legacy defining for like – for $50,000 on a Mercedes, you're still going to have to pay for every month? I don't know. Could never be me.
$23,000 in late mortgage payments. I mean,
he really needed it. Yeah.
They were doing bad. They were doing bad. So, like, I get it, Amanda, but also, like, you're starting from negative 23.
Yeah.
So, if he's up by half a mil, I think a win's a win, I guess, but still.
I also feel like this money was delivered in a very New Jersey way for it to be presented as gold bars, as giant wads of cash. I think the Jersey took over on that, mm-hmm. and he like entered sort of his Sopranos era, and he's like, of course, I can't turn down a bunch of gold bars. And I will say
it wasn't for the money. It was for the love of the game.
It was as a New Jersey resident, I think you have to accept gold bars in a duffel bag that are presented to you at an airport. Like just mm-hmm. culturally, you have to accept that. Mm-hmm. But I will also say, because I know I shared my family immigration story on our last episode, that Bob Menendez is a Cuban guy from Union City, New Jersey, and my parents went to high school with him.
Jesus Christ. The day after Elise shared specifically her family's origin story as New Jersey Cubans.
Yes. And I was Googling it. I went on Wikipedia. His mom worked in an embroidery factory, the same as my grandma. So they were literally the same deal. And I did text my mom about this, and this was what she had to say. She said, I said, have you heard about Bob Menendez? And she said, this is all one sentence. What a thief. I did not hear the latest update. Maybe he will need to resign. He was tortured by one of the biggest thieves, our Mayor Musto, who was in jail for years. And I did Google it. And so, yeah, he used to work for the Union City Mayor Musto, who was mayor like the entire time my parents lived there. And he did go to jail for years. So
Mayor Musto? Mm.
Mayor Musto as well. Musto. So he comes through a long line of receiving gold bars, cash payments, convertibles.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. The way that I heard about this was like Amanda texting the group chat being like, did you hear about the Menendez indictment? And I'm like, What did the Menendez brothers do now? What are those motherfuckers doing?
Why
now?
Is Amanda texting me about it?
And why is it? No, I was like, damn, like the cold cases or some shit happened.
They're back.
No, it is back. Instead 69-year-old Bob Menendez, senator from New Jersey, and his wife. I don't know. My first reaction was just like, just do if that corrupt. I think you're right. They were down bad. Like if you have like maybe he was like about to lose his house and was like, OK, this is the easiest way for me to get 23K. He says he did nothing wrong. He's not going to step down. He's being really defiant. He says, you know, I'm going to let a jury figure this out. I think what's like encouraging him and making him feel bolder in that is that he has been acquitted on some corruption charges in the past. He wasn't acquitted. I think it was like deadlocked or something.
Yeah,
I don't
the
know.
Jury couldn't. He was acquitted in the sense that like. The jury couldn't reach a unanimous conclusion. I forget what that's called. It's not a mistrial. It was a hung jury.
It has emboldened him. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so he will ultimately go to trial. He is up again in 2024. He basically it has not said that he won't step down. Again, he says that was for emergencies. I did nothing wrong. A jury will acquit me. Let me go through the criminal justice system. Reactions to this, it took senators. Senator John Fetterman came out right away, said he's got to step down. Many New Jersey politicians, including Phil Murphy, pretty urgently said this is too disturbing. These allegations, he simply can't remain in power. But it took a lot of other senators a minute to kind of come forward and say the same. Cory Booker didn't until today urge the senator to resign. Joe Biden hasn't yet. Menendez is up for re-election in 2024. Like I said, and he's got some worthy challengers. New Jersey has a Democratic governor. So I believe if Menendez were to step down, Phil Murphy could appoint a replacement, and that would make for a super interesting race in 2024. One person in Bob Menendez's corner, George Santos, who was apparently asked about this.
Two Latino men that they're trying to take down. Because Menendez also said that. He was like, they're trying to take me down because I'm a Latino. And AOC was
not
like,
during her Hispanic Heritage Month.
During Hispanic Heritage Month. And AOC had to come out and be like, no, I don't think that's right.
The dollar bills sewn into your congressional Hispanic caucus jacket.
I mean, listen, there's something to be said about colonizers stealing gold and all that. Yeah. But we don't have time for that on this up. But anyway, I, you know what? They say George Santos has no integrity, works, you know, off of being slimy. And it's just like, I mean, I don't know. This is pretty
pretty bad. I mean, I'm honestly surprised. It's so interesting because there have been some Republicans. I think I saw this morning, like Tom Cotton, the senator, was like, you know, let Menendez like go to trial, let a jury decide. This is so, 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 so much worse than anything Hunter Biden is even the wildest accusations against Hunter Biden. But they're like, let Democrat New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez lay off him. It's just, it's so transparent.
Well, the thing is that they don't want Menendez's nudes the way that they want Hunter Biden's nudes. So that's really, when you accept that that's most of the accusations against Hunter Biden is people asking for his nudes to be released, then it all makes sense.
And it's a very clarifying perspective. Absolutely. All right, finally today, are men okay? I think we already know the answer overall, but we're going to discuss one more. Greek Prime Minister. All right, I'm going to try this once. Does anyone know how to pronounce this?
Absolutely not.
I normally don't do this like, oh, I can't pronounce it, but I really will get this Kyriakos. So wrong. It's Kyriakos Mitsotakis, recently called climate change an opportunity to expand our tourism season. Bad. This was part of a conversation, to be fair, about how climate change could threaten tourism in Greece, particularly if temperatures become intolerably high. And the Greek prime minister, he did acknowledge that possibility. He was like, we have to contend with climate change. But then he like tried to kind of make light of it and noted that, you know, increasing temperatures would actually elongate the warm season. I think he was on Bloomberg. So it was a very like businessy interview. Maybe prime ministers don't need to be acting like economic analysts. The comments were very clumsy and also extremely hurtful, given that Greece has suffered deadly wildfires and floods in recent months. So what do we think? Do we think this is a like aggressively bad statement indicating that this man is not okay? Do we think it was just a clumsy attempt to be a little funny on TV? Or is it absolutely no grace or forgiveness required? This man is not okay.
I think it was a very clumsy bad joke. And I think it's just tacky because some people don't take climate change seriously enough and like aren't even acknowledging that that it exists. So for someone to have this kind of attitude about it can be really hurtful because, yeah, like, you know, people aren't changing their behaviors quick enough to contend to the imminent threat of climate change. And this guy wants to make jokes.
Because he's going to be fine.
He's going to be fine. And also, like, yeah, as someone who's going to Europe this week and having a European vacation and swimming and shit in October, like, shit's off.
Spooky season.
But also, I mean, if we're comparing this, I mean, apples to potatoes, but I'm just like.
We've had worse men.
Well, I'm talking, well, the men who sold gold bars in his coat. I mean, just one story above.
Yeah, I think the issue is that, like, this guy's okay, and that's the problem. He's not really seeing that other people who were victims of, like, literal floods and fires in Greece that affected people who were there for tourism, like, those people are not okay. But because he's okay, he can be, like, key, and make
right. Like, imagine if Ron DeSantis said this. It would be.
Oh, yeah.
He would say it. I mean, he's 2 seconds
he
from
probably
saying
has.
It.
He
He'll
probably has. He'll
say it tomorrow. We have a debate tomorrow. He'll say it.
Climate's too woke.
We do have a debate tomorrow, and it will be Elise Morales' song. She has generally offered to live tweet and meme tomorrow's debate, the last political debate she will ever set her eyes on.
No. Yes. And I'm taking a break until the general. I'm taking a break until the general. Hold me to it. If you see me on Instagram saying I'm watching the debate, call me out. Call me in.
Call her in. Be nice.
Okay. I'll say, I think it was Bloomberg or Wall Street Journal that did a really, really interesting article about Vivek Ramaswamy's, like, first millions and hint, hint, insider trading. It's given insider trading on that. So,
yeah. So what we're learning from this is our Millie not taking a break. She's going to be, she's clicking every single
everything.
Link. That is our show for today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com.
Betches.